Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On this first Sunday of Lent, I want to declare that Lent is a gift. Let me explain. So much of our life is geared to running here and running there, life getting measured by how busy we are. We take pride in indicating to others just how busy we are. Even for retired people, it's running off to one meeting or event after another. Volunteering and giving of oneself to so many worthwhile organizations and causes. How often I hear from retired folk, "I'm busier now than when I was employed." In fact, I think many people would feel guilty telling anyone that they are not keeping busy. Busy at something or other. Maybe that's just me. I know I am part of that crowd, as are most of my friends. And so I want to declare on this first Sunday of Lent that Lent is really a gift. It is one of God's ways of trying to tell us to slow down, to stop, to think about where we're going. Lent is a season of reflection, when we pause to ponder the meaning of what's going on in our lives. Lent can be a wonderful opportunity to inventory your life and say no to some things and yes to others. The scripture lesson from the book of Deuteronomy, which Joanne read this morning, takes us to what I consider the heart of the Lenten purpose. Of course, ancient Israel didn't have Lent, but they did have regular rituals that functioned in the same manner as does Lent. And Deuteronomy 26 describes one of those. That book of Deuteronomy is a collection of sermons attributed to Moses. They sound like Moses preached them as the children of Israel were about to enter the Promised Land. Now, Old Testament scholars today agree that the theological editors of that book of Deuteronomy shaped this material centuries later to speak to the people in the time of the Babylonian exile. Babylon had invaded Israel and had deported its leaders into exile. And perhaps the line from the Bible that most poignantly captures the feeling of those exiles is the one from Psalm 137, the very first verse. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept." The exile was a life-defining moment for Israel. Now, I would imagine that some big moments in your life, even as in my life, big moments in the life of individuals and families, even for us as a congregation of Old South Haven Presbyterian Church, there are moments in our life that we could describe as being life-defining moments. I've told you now at two annual congregational meetings that one of the projects that I have set for myself but haven't gotten around to yet is to put it together, of course, with Richard Thomas's help, of course, some of those, what I would consider life-defining moments in the life of this congregation. Picking up that story where George Borthwick's History of the Church ended around the late 1930s. And I've also been given the assignment from the coordinating committee of the National Campus Ministry Association, on which I serve as an, and get this is what my title is, the SAGE representative. Those retired ministers have asked me to put together a brief history highlighting those defining moments because our organization celebrates its 50th anniversary 1 year from now in 2014. Highlighting what I call life-defining moments helps us to understand and to appreciate where we've been, and helps us also to dedicate ourselves to build upon those moments as we then face the future. And today's lesson that Joanne read speaks of an act of worship that the writers of the book of Deuteronomy wanted the people in exile to remember and to incorporate when they returned from exile. We read, when the first fruits appear, for example, the first heads of grain, the people are to put them in a basket and go to the place of worship and to declare, a wandering Aramean was my father, or we would say wandering Arameans were our ancestors. They went to Egypt in search of food, but as they stayed, the Egyptians made them into slaves and treated them harshly. And God heard their cries and with mighty power delivered them. And now I'm quoting, and brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now notice how the passage doesn't speak of them, but of us coming out of Egypt. When it brought us into this place and gave us this land. That's true identification with those who went before us. That's when history really becomes our story. Why should these people of Israel now in exile remember this story? Because exile is a life-defining moment. It would be so easy for these people to think that the experience of loss and frustration and even bitterness as being now the sum total of their life. We sat down and we wept. The writers, and I'm going to call them preachers, know that how Israel responds to the exile is key to both Israel's present and its future. The people can spend the rest of their lives weeping in disappointment and in bitterness. Or they could remember that God led them out of Egypt and is still with them. The God who brought them out of slavery to freedom once again can do it. Lent can and should be a time to pause and to reflect on the moments in our lives that have shaped us. What are the defining moments in your life? What are the defining moments of this congregation that bears the name Old South Haven Presbyterian Church? For you, was it when that someone special asked you to marry? Was it when your first child was born, and in holding that warm bundle, you realized that tiny as that child was, it had changed the rest of your life? Was it when you got the job? Was it when divorce happened or death took place? Was it when you retired and you woke up the next morning feeling like your life was now a big vacuum? Or maybe you retired and the next morning you felt like you had just been released from prison. Or you felt that now you could do those things you really wanted to do. Was it when the doctor looked at the x-ray and said, "I'm sorry, but we really can't do anymore"? And what about the life-defining moments for this congregation? Was it when you took the act of moving this building from its former location to this one? Was it when the change of a pastor changed the style or the thrust of this congregation's ministry? Was it when you decided to become a more like congregation? Some of those experiences can be energizing and permission-giving and liberating. They can give joy and power and anticipation. They can open you to new life and to new possibilities. And yet some are frustrating and restrictive and painful. And Lent can be that pause to reflect on what experiences really shape us. The reading from the book of Deuteronomy affirms that God is present in the defining moments, in the hope that they will become something for us similar to the Exodus from Egypt, a time in which we go with God into a future marked by the notion of a promised land, the notion of an experience that is going to be promising. Now, even as Lent becomes a time when you can do such reflecting, Lent is above all a time to reflect on those life-defining moments in the life of our Lord and Savior. Two Sundays ago, there was the life-defining moment when Jesus read from the book of Isaiah and saw in the words of Isaiah a mission that he then claimed to be his own. And if we would have had a service last Sunday, there was another life-defining moment for Jesus that I was going to speak to. When on the mountain he was transfigured along in the presence of three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And they saw the man whom they had elected to follow in a new light. They saw him identified with Moses and with Elijah, and this identification brought a radiant smile to his face, affirmed him in the ministry that he was about to undertake. And today, as our Lord gets ready to launch his ministry, he wrestles with the question of the manner in which that ministry would be carried out. For 40 days, reads the gospel, the struggle took place. A struggle the gospel writer presents as a struggle with the devil. And by using the term tempted by the devil, shows what a struggle it was. For to be tempted meant it was something given consideration, something to which Jesus needed to say no. Life-defining moments are moments that end up either with a yes or with a no. And saying no to one alternative often opens the door to saying yes to another. In the same way that saying yes to one alternative is saying no to others. This scene in the wilderness, which when pictured is really more like a desert, became a life-defining moment for the kingdom of God, which became the central message of our Lord's preaching and of his actions. That life-defining moment as he wrestled there in the desert or in the wilderness was that his mission, his ministry, would not be based on miracle or authority or magic or mystery. And the passage ends with this editorial comment. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. You know, that says loud and clear it was not a one-time struggle for our Lord. But that life-defining moment for Jesus when he found his mission in the passage from Isaiah, that life-defining moment when he became affirmed on the mountaintop by those two most significant figures from his people's history, Moses and Elijah. And now this life-defining moment of struggling with and defeating the power of temptation to give in to what is not of God, a power so great that it became a key phrase in our Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," gave comfort, gave reassurance, gave courage. When on the cross, he reaffirmed the commitment he made during those earlier life-defining moments and could offer those triumphant words as his final words, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Amen.